Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Surviving Empathy Podcast. Today, ladies and gentlemen, it is our 1 year anniversary. Ooh, stinking in here. So, you guys, thank you for 1 year. We have been at it for 1 year. Not to the day, but, you know, within the week, you know. But we're so excited to be here to do a service for you. We are just very ecstatic that we made it this long, and we want to talk all about it. Rebecca and I today, we're going to talk about the good and the bad and the ugly of podcasting and of public life, and we're going to talk about where we were, where we are now, and where we're going, and what this show is really all about. We want to talk humbly about the good and the bad aspects of doing a podcast like this. And I think you guys are really going to get something from this one, because we really get into the heart of the matter. We really get to the quintessential essence of what we are and what we care about and who we care about. And it's just a lot of fun. So thank you guys so very much. We are absolutely humbled. If you want to help our humanitarian cause out, come on over to PayPal or Patreon at Chef Fry Comedy. And if you can't afford it, that's okay. Just share this with people. Share away. Click, like, share. Do whatever you can on our socials. We are at Chef Fry Comedy or Surviving Empathy Podcast. But you guys, it's been 1 year and we're so excited about the future. We've got growth coming, and it's just a lot of fun. We're going to start getting onto the YouTube platform more as a supplementary channel. We're going to be doing paranormal reviews. It's going to be cool stuff, man. And we just want to talk about our gratitude towards you guys and what this all means to us, how we got into it, why we got into it, what our expectations are, etc., etc. So thank you so much for being a friend. Thank you for being a part of our Empath Tribe. And let's begin. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Surviving Empathy Podcast. I am your host, Brian Russell of Chef Fry Comedy. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we are celebrating our 1 year anniversary at Chef Fry Comedy and Surviving Empathy Podcast. And so thank you guys so much for sticking with us throughout all this. This show is going to be all about why we're doing this, who we're trying to be, and our main goals of this and what we want to do from here on out into the future, because we want to kind of talk about where we've been and where we're going and where we're at now. And we're trying to capture something, and we'll go into that in a little bit. But please say hello to my beautiful wife and co-host, Rebecca. Please say hi to the folks.
Hello, everyone.
So, yeah, I mean, this whole thing is an experiment, really. This was born out of, you know, because we live down in California. We were both doing well financially, but not real well. We were making money, we were working, but my career started tanking once I sort of realized that as a cook, as a chef, that I wasn't getting where I needed to be. There was glass ceilings there. And so I got into radio because of my best friend, Craig. I have two best friends, Craig and Jim. Jim's the chiropractor. The other one's the radio producer guy. But I got into this because when we moved up here, I had just gotten out of radio. And I was trying to find radio gigs up here in Oregon, but we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. We just knew, okay, we had lived in Portland before and we moved back, but now we're living more in a rural area. But this show is born out of something in deep in our soul. And I want to kind of go into that a little bit, you know, because as I've told you guys, when we moved up to Oregon here, Rebecca got a job right away at the grocery store. She's been there ever since. And babe, I just got to tell you, I know our life is bittersweet. And that's why we're doing this. I know it doesn't seem like it's going to get anywhere because growth is so slow these days. And there's so many people nowadays clamoring for attention, clamoring for fame, you know. But what happened was, is I ended up getting a job at Lowe's. I call it blows. And at first, the first year was really good. It was positive. You were going to Corvallis at the time, which is the next town over. And I got to hand it to you because it was a time in our life where we moved somewhere and we had all these hopes and dreams of what this was going to turn out to be. And frankly, I'm learning in Oregon, your life is only as good as you try to make it. And because there's really nothing going on. I mean, it's fucking foggy and gray 8 months out of the year. It's gray and foggy today. And we're in the middle of, you know, we're in June. Yeah. But I'm so proud of you because you worked in this store with no windows, this fluorescent bright lighting. It felt like some retail hell. And you worked your way up the trenches from very low pay to pretty darn good pay. Not great pay, but okay pay. You worked your way up, and this is after already having a career in medical assisting for like 18, 19 years or whatever it was. And so I'm just so very proud of you because the thing is that I am the kind of person where if I feel like something's not going anywhere, I'm too intuitive. I just go, no, this is a dead end for me. And it just doesn't work out. Maybe you could say that as an Aries, I'm a very impatient soul. And not necessarily that I believe in everything about astrology, but the personality traits of an Aries are exactly me. I have a big personality. I'm very loyal but if something doesn't feel exciting for me, I'm like, fuck this, man. And so your stick-to-itiveness is something that I admire greatly. But the thing is that now you feel like there's this imbalance in our life. And I want to kind of go into that because I want to talk about the heart of what Surviving Empathy Podcast is all about. Because I was working at Lowe's and the first year was great. And there was a lot of teamwork, a lot of positivity. Even the managers were good people. And then over the course of the few years that I was there, it just got really dark. It just became very cold and indifferent. They were restructuring everything. And then it got to a point where all my best friends had left the job because they were managers. And my friends were always the managers usually because, you know, because they have a certain, intelligence to them, a certain independence and fortitude, you know. But then when they left, I felt like very depressed. And it was getting to the point where I was getting, I don't want to say suicidal, but I was getting really, really into my depression. And so we here have been up here now for 7 years and we've been doing the show here for a year. Before this, I was trying to be a YouTuber, and the truth is that I just don't see myself as one of those, hey, guys, putting on a fake face and a fake excitability all the time. And the thing is that, yes, that is a part of me. I'm a fun-loving guy, but also I have a lot of depression. I have a lot of introversion. I have a lot of mental health snags, we'll say. And I was like, you know, I don't want this show to be me trying to be fake and just clamoring for fame and fortune. I want it to be something deeper. And so I realized that there is a bunch of people in this world just like me who are working regular jobs, perhaps not getting what they want out of it. And it made me realize something very profound, which is that all the regular folks in the world are dealing with mental health problems. They're dealing with depression. They're dealing with trying to make their average life feel good and happy and balanced and real. And that is so hard to find these days because not only is the pay shitty, but then the attitudes in the workplace sometimes are hard. And so I came to this really stark realization that regular people in this world are getting the shit under the stick, you know? And I know that's how you feel now in our circumstances today. And that's why I wanted to do a show that not only celebrates our 1 year anniversary on the air as a podcast, but also where we plan on going and what we're trying to do. Because frankly, I really, to this day, still feel like my mental health isn't always great. You know, I just got over what I call, because I have depression, you have depression. Yeah. But But mine this time wasn't my usual cranky depression where I'm just irritated and down. I felt this spiritual malnutrition, I call it, a spiritual malnutrition where as an excitable, happy, thoughtful person, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere in this life. And when you see people like, no offense to them, but like a Millie Bobby Brown who's just turned 18 and she's a producer of the biggest TV show in the world, you go, what the fuck happened? I mean, I was in the military. I've done all these things. You've gone to school. I've earned all these certificates and degrees. I've gone to vocational schools and college, and you have all this education. You have all these skills. But at the end of the day, you realize that the world just doesn't fucking give a shit about you, you know?
That is so true.
And so this was born and bred out of my desire not to get famous or wealthy. If that happens, hey, I'm not going to say no to it. I don't know how I would even handle fame, to be honest with you. We were talking about, you know, because we just finished up and wrapped up Stranger Things season 4. It is so good.
So amazing.
Yeah, but we were watching David Harbour on that hot wing show where they eat hot wings and it gets progressively hotter and hotter. And David Harbour's like, I'm so glad I got famous after 40 because honestly, it allowed me to live a normal life. And while I think he's right in general, because once you're famous, it's not, you know, you're probably glad for the financial security, but you probably get sick and tired of people always thinking that they know you and can come up on you and say anything that they want. And so these kids, he talks about these kids who grew up in the limelight on this very famous show. And there is no such thing as normal with that, you know?
No, not at all.
You know, so I'm at a point where I'm not doing this show for that. This show, I know, is nowhere near as famous or popular as even some of the podcasts out there that probably content-wise aren't even as good as ours. And so you're always reconciling with your jealousy and envy over things because you see a lot of people and things out there that are doing good work. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of great YouTubers and content creators. There's wonderful podcasts out there. I just listened to one the other day. This guy was doing a review of The Batman, and it was fun. But I do think that in terms of content, we're coming from a place that's so deep and meaningful and pure that I believe we're putting out good content. And so when the numbers aren't growing quite like you want and the fame or the money isn't there, the people aren't really contributing to my PayPal or Patreon as much as I would like. And if you would like to do that, you can kind of go on over to Patreon or PayPal at Chef Bri Comedy. But I'm just saying that you get to a point where you just realize you cannot expect instant results. In fact, you can't expect results at all, really. You can't. And then, and so so I came to this realization that it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. You know, I think life is not destination oriented because as you get older, you start to develop a lot of serious mental health queries, if you will. You start wrestling with your understanding of God. You start asking the big, deep questions. And when you don't believe in all the fairy tales and nonsense of life, you're trying to capture that magic. And that's what this show is about, is trying to capture that lightning in a bottle magic that comes from the heart, that is pure emotion, that comes from a place so deep and so pure and so meaningful. But the thing is that if you're not getting where you want to be in life, you could give up. You could just say, oh, fuck it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It'd be very easy to do.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, hon, is that here you are, you had to call in sick 3 days in a row because you caught this bad cold. We're getting all these migraines and headaches because the weather is all over the place right now here in Oregon. And then I am going through a big fibromyalgia flare-up. I was feeling very swollen and pain. I'm having bad insomnia, and it's like I had what you call, you guys, like a kind of a stress freak out the other day, and I was just unnerved, and my body went haywire, and I didn't sleep, and I just couldn't relax. I was having a freak out, you know? And that's the thing, you guys, is that life gets very real, you know, even for us quote unquote people in the entertainment biz or who are trying to make it as public figures is that, you know, we're not doing this for the fame and fortune. We are doing this because we wanted to tackle mental health in a way where we attract the right kind of people. And we call that our empath tribe. You know, we're trying to get all the introverts and nerds. We're all about the geek life, nerd life, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars, MCU, you name it. We're into all that. But we're also about the hashtag spooky life. And you're always, as a podcaster, trying to figure out how to connect with people, how to make yourself, feel real to people and to put out work that's going to help people actually get better in their own mental health. And that's the thing that's really hard is that Rebecca here, you know, she just told me on a break that she was getting teary today because she's not feeling well. Her voice is all scratchy. She's getting over this cold. And the truth is that she's emotional right now because she's caught in a job that she's not feeling a terrible amount of a love for, not because they're not sometimes good to you. I think there's those little, yeah,
they definitely are
good moments in there. Yeah. But you know, and that's the thing is like, I told her, I said, hon, I wish I could promise you that this was going to make it into something huge and that we were going to get out of the trailer and we were going to make it as celebrities or something of that nature. But the truth is that that's not realistic. That is not podcasting, you guys. Podcasting is a passion project that you do to help people because it comes from a place that's real. You can't expect instant results. You can't expect fame. You can't expect even getting paid. And we're trying to grow this. And that's why right now I'm at a place where I'm very proud of the content that we put out. I think it's helpful that we all realize that mental health is a priority right now in this world as it is. And that's why I kind of at first was like trying to create a brand all about the paranormal and the spooky life because that's what we love. But then I started realizing as time went on that it got to the point where mental health became front and center and the paranormal kind of took a back seat. And while I feel bad about that for the paranormal people out there who just want to hear about all that spooky stuff, the mental health really did start becoming that front and center topic, not only for ourselves, but I think because everybody right now is going through something.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
something that everybody can relate to and it's not talked about enough.
It's not. When you're living in a culture where regular folks are being virtually ignored, you know, we're living in times where, you know, back in the old days, I can't really describe it, but we all just knew our role. We knew our place and we accepted it because everybody was like you. Everybody had an average job. Everybody had average pay. Everybody had average, you know, I don't know, just average life. And so I don't know what changed, but it feels like now we've become so self-aware as a culture, but we've also become very unequal as a culture. There's so many extreme haves versus extreme have-nots as the middle class dwindled over the years. And I think we all have memories of the 80s and that nostalgia because there was a middle class.
Yeah, the inequality has always been there, but it was never quite this extreme.
Right.
Like you said, there was a middle class, so it felt more even-keeled.
Well, and that's why as the show progressed, I started realizing that this had to be more than just the paranormal and cryptids. While it's a great fun for us, we consider ourselves paranormal enthusiasts, paranormal researchers, I dare say paranormal experts, but I use that in parentheses because you've heard me do shows about how I feel about people who call themselves experts. Depends. It just depends. But it's not because I just feel like there's such an ego and arrogance and impetus to life that everybody on YouTube is trying to be bigger than life. And we're always having to be happy. We're always having to be enthusiastic. We're always trying to keep up with the Joneses with that forever stoked mentality. And for those who don't feel that way, I think they're shunned. They feel like in our culture, we're getting to the point where if you don't feel happy all the time, then nobody wants to deal with you. It's like we've all grown allergic to people who are going through real shit. And we're like, no, let's lean into this. Let's go into the weeds with mental health. and depression and anxiety and hopelessness. And the truth is that this show isn't me being a motivational speaker and influencer because I'm so perfect, but because I'm not so perfect. That's what makes it real.
Yeah, and it's just a place to get it out and hope that other people hear you and can relate to you and get some comfort from it.
Absolutely, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, while we are celebrating our year anniversary, my numbers are still good, but they're not great. And you realize when you are a one podcaster out of 750,000 podcasters and all these YouTubers, just more and more and more people all looking for the limelight, they're all looking for fame and fortune. And while there are some people out there that I appreciate that do good work, on the one hand, you know, like that skills share, you see that a lot. A lot of people nowadays have a talent or a skill that they can share. And that's a lot, you know, with Etsy and with YouTube and all the content creators, all the social media influencers, et cetera. On the one hand, I think that's really neat. But on the other hand, I feel like the tail is wagging the dog now in our culture because there's more people all clamoring for fame than people who aren't.
Yeah, it's definitely a double-edged sword because on one hand, it's great that regular people can just start something out of their house, out of their bedroom.
Yeah.
And have the chance to make it. And it's great. But
right.
Then there's so many.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Like, we were watching Popcorn Planet the other day, and they were talking about, there was a Washington Post article that, you know, because of the Johnny Depp trial, this woman came out. First of all, they're talking about how independent journalism is taking over the airwaves during the Johnny Depp trial. And she was kind of bashing it in a way because she's a legitimate journalist. She has a Harvard degree. And while I want to give people credit for their authenticity and their hard work, we're getting to the point now where everybody has the technology to do what the big TV stations and radio stations do.
Yeah. And I like that. And yeah, that article, it's people like that, they're starting to feel threatened.
Yeah.
And the great thing about it is people, not everybody has a chance to go to Harvard. Not everybody has a chance to get a journalist degree. And
exactly.
They have the talent and the know-how to do it. They just don't have the means to actually get a formal education.
Right.
And I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I agree in that regard. I do. But on the other hand, also, it feels now like there's a culture war always between, like, Johnny Depp supporters versus not, liberals versus conservative. And now you've got this independent journalist versus legit journalism, if you will. And they're trying to delegitimize by using bad examples of, like, 17-year-olds who are getting wealthy and famous. Because of, like, hot guys pages and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, so he's got a million followers. So what? So a lot of women and people out there want to look at hot guys. So the fuck what? You're threatened by that? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But what a bad example to use. It's almost like, yes, I do agree. I've done entire episodes about how we, as humans, as citizens, have to stop supporting people who don't intellectually or emotionally deserve fame and fortune. That said, we should support anybody doing good work because I do believe there's a lot of lawyers and journalists and people out on the airwaves of YouTube and podcasts who are really intelligent, thoughtful people like ourselves who just couldn't get in the ground level of a legitimate career and so went off and did it their own way. And that's exactly why I'm doing this, because I used to be a radio guy and I said, you know what? Fuck this shit. Minimum wage, limited hours, nobody appreciates you. Even when I was working at the radio station, they were threatened by the fact that I was this go-getter, and they're like, no, they wanted to snuff. It's like crib death.
You
they
want
to
fancy like them with their degrees. So
yeah,
I couldn't possibly
be smart or thoughtful or be good on the radio, right?
Yeah,
you know, that's what it starts to feel like. And so right now, I think what we're going through in our culture, besides the right versus left craziness and the Ukraine craziness and the you know, post COVID craziness, where the economy is trying to find some equilibrium. But we're also getting to the point where credible journalists and credible professionals are feeling threatened by independent journalism and independent creators, because at the end of the day, they put in all this hard work and they feel more valid or validated. And so they're shitting on people who didn't do it their way as a working, means to raise themselves up.
Yeah, who are working equally as hard.
Right.
And that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you take an Andy Signor. That motherfucker got canceled 3 years ago, and now he's bigger than the original channel that he started from on a Real Rejects.
Yeah.
You know?
What was it? Screen Junkies?
And Screen Junkies. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
Free advertising. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that's the thing, you guys, is that the world is going nuts. And so this show is not made by lawyers and think tanks. We are not made. Our growth and progress is slow because we have limited money, limited resources, and frankly, a limited amount of people who give a shit. When your numbers are only getting into the hundreds and not the thousands, it's like, you know, you're screaming into the wall, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to learn to roll with those punches, and that's why I decided, well, you know, I don't feel good right now in the circumstances we're in, because we're a year into this, and we've put out some terrific work, I believe. But to see you have to go to a real job while I tinker with this thing that may or may not even work out, I feel like I have to continue putting in on it. It's almost like buying lottery tickets, in the sense that how are you going to win if you don't play, you know?
Yeah. True.
That's how I feel. And besides that, I care about people. I'm doing this from a place of absolute adoration and love for people who are not the most beautiful, who are not the most extroverted, who don't have all the money, who are working regular jobs with regular life and regular mental health. Those are the people that I and you and I represent. We represent nerds, spooky life. We represent introverts. We represent all the people that don't feel good enough or smart enough, because there's a whole culture out there of people who've gone to Harvard. We just can't rate. We just don't rate compared to a lot of these people. You know, like my boss down in San Luis Obispo, nice guy. You know, we used to hang out and talk. I used to be his, you know, sidekick on the air. And nice guy. His name was Pepper. And he has a degree from University of Illinois. And then he came, and now he's a manager for American General Media, and they feel so fucking threatened by anybody who dares mm-hmm. say, I also would like to get into voice work.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, and it makes you realize that what the fuck do you need a degree for? You know, and that's the thing. Like, we're living in a culture now where I want to give credit for people who work hard in academia. I recognize people's hard work. I recognize the intelligence of academic life, but at the same time, it almost feels like that we're living in a culture that doesn't create enough actual infrastructure for all these motherfuckers to go to school and college and all these degrees. And so what happens is a lot of people, for whatever reason, they don't make it right away. They fall into something else. It's like, oh, you end up, you know, life is always, you know, they say life is what happens when you're making plans.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what happens. And so I think we as a culture and a society have to start acknowledging that mainstream isn't always better. Mainstream isn't always smarter. Mainstream isn't always more earnest or honest. At the end of the day, like, I think people want to be like, they want to be told that something's legit or cool before they'll allow themselves to, you know, like Joe Rogan. It's like, oh, Joe Rogan's a big shitting deal now. So, oh, it's okay for me to like him, but I can't listen to this independent podcast over here because nobody told me that it's cool yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wake the fuck up, dude. You
know, so many people that still can't think for themselves and
yeah.
make their own decisions. And
yeah. What is that, do you think?
I don't know. It's just, I think part of it's insecurity.
Yeah.
Because people want to be in with everybody else.
The cool crowd. Everybody wants to clamor for the cool kids mm-hmm. and the cool crowd. And it's almost like we, instead of creating our own strength and our own ability to rise to our greatest potential of strength and empowerment and coolness, people would rather just join the cool kids, even though the cool kids at the cool kids table are a bunch of fucking assholes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And instead of creating a better movement, they rather latch on to a movement that really is not getting better.
Yeah. And the heart of it is insecurity and fear of looking different or being different or standing out in a weird way. So
right.
You just want to conform and be like everybody else.
Well, even myself, I get insecure about my looks. I get insecure about, like, sometimes I wear black nail polish, but because we're in an area that so shuns differences in rural Oregon, I feel like I'm not even allowed to be a little, like, I know gender fluidity and trans life and all the more alternative lifestyles have become more popular, even in places like Oklahoma and red states and all that. I still, though, feel like when I wear nail polish, like, I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, I know.
People look at you like you're a freak or something.
Not too many years ago, before I finally dyed my hair purple.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my 40s at the time. Like, it took me that long to feel good enough and fuck everybody else enough that I don't care.
Well, it's
hard.
And talk on that, because I think you are... That's why I wanted you to be a co-host. When we were trying to figure out this show, it was like, okay, we're not going to get guests all the time. So what are we going to do? How are we going to do two shows a week? We started out wanting to do three shows a week. And when I realized that was too much work, because I'm also trying to build another brand behind that, because I'm also a comedian, I'm also trying to do a YouTube channel, all these other things, I'm like, where am I going to find time to write my books and do my comedy? So I decided, okay, two a week. And that's plenty, I think. But at the end of the day, I was like, okay, how are we going to continue putting out content if I can't get celebrities, if I can't get big shit guests? I could go out there and probably get people in the community and stuff like that, but I didn't want my show to be about Oregon or this local area because, frankly, I don't feel like I fit in here, and I never fucking will.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what I need to do? Yes, I know. I'm going to, you became my guest, and then you were immediately promoted to co-host, even though you have a job at the grocery store, because I realized we could talk about all the things that people are thinking and not saying. And that's where I think the show really developed its signature format, if you will, because I realized that, misfits and freaks and nerds and regular working people, people with mental health issues, people with depression, anxiety, people that like to dye their hair purple, people who are misanthropes, people who are rejects or whatever word you want to put to it, that's who we represent. I realize that, even though I wouldn't consider myself a freak. I wear my hair normal. I have a beard. I don't dye my hair. I don't have nail polish on right now, but I do like sometimes embracing that more freaky part of myself, because I feel like our society's become so straight-laced and so conservative and so uptight. And I mean small c conservative. I'm not talking about politically conservative, just uptight, traditional minded. And frankly, we're living in times now where I realize, oh man, there's actually a lot of gay people here. Good. And then we were talking to our friend Idris, who became a friend of the show, and we've become best friends because of the show. And so when I see all the good things potentially that this show can produce, I'm like, I can't let go of that, because that is my lifeline out there. This is my only chance to put my feelers out there and see what I can create. It's it's a part of my creative impetus to be a creator, to to make friends and to share in our differences and similarities. Because at the end of the day, I realized that we were representing the people who don't have a voice at the end of the day,
Yeah, definitely.
And so whether you consider yourself good mental health, bad mental health, whether you like the spooky life, I imagine you're here because you like the paranormal and you like the empath stuff. My empath tribe, the people who consider themselves intuitives, misanthropes. That just means you kind of have a lackluster view of life. What would you call a misanthrope? What is a misanthrope?
Don't like people.
Yeah. Well, and
literally, that's what it is.
you self-apply that. I don't.
Yeah.
Even though I can probably get away with saying it. I guess I don't want to give people the wrong idea because I do care about people. I really do. But at the end of the day, people sometimes suck. And so I like people when they're just living their life and there's no attitudes and there's no egos and there's no when they're just living their life, doing their thing, I really like people. But it's when they start getting too self-aware, too arrogant, too egotistical, I just start to go, good gravy. This world's being taken over by agendas, you know?
Yeah, it is.
So
On my Facebook profile, I identify as misanthrope/humanitarian.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, because I do care about people. I wouldn't be still doing this if I didn't care about folks, because at the end of the day, we're not making any money. I'm making $10.71 per month, you guys. $10.71. And that's okay, because we only have two patrons right now on Patreon. And every once in a while, I'll get kind of a lump sum on PayPal, you know, but that's okay. It's the first year. But that's why, but I do get, where I start to feel like I'm talking to a brick wall, or I feel like, because I know I have a handful of very dedicated fans, but it's not in the hundreds or thousands yet. It's in the dozens. And that's okay.
Yeah. Better than none.
It's better than none. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, I was going through a really bad spiritual malaise recently. I had a stress attack because of fibro, changing of the weather, all the migraines. Everything I tried to do to make myself feel better, I drink a beer, that didn't work. I'd try this or that, that didn't work. Everything, my body was just rejecting everything. And I think that's what happens every so often when the weather changes so extremely, is that my body goes into this fibro flare-up, and I go into like stress overload, and I wasn't sleeping. I was literally awake the whole night, could not sleep, and I was having weird lucid thoughts and things. And at the end of the day, I ended up having a dream about my best friend Craig, and we were working in radio together, and he was getting a burrito, and I was like, hey, where'd you get that burrito? I was like, oh, the new place over here. Yeah, I think that was like my life, like my soul saying, this is what you want out of life. And that means, okay, it means you want to do radio. You love it. And I do. But I also love helping people. But the thing about it is that the spiritual malnutrition I get, you know, because I'm dealing okay with my depression. I'm dealing okay with my anxiety. We're trying right now, you guys, to get healthier. We're at a point where we've been eating a lot of ice cream. We've been watching a lot of TV. We're not super active. And so we're trying to lose a little bit of weight, trying to make a little bit better decisions. So I've gone from ice cream to Greek yogurt and granola. But at the end of the day, while I'm starting to come to terms with what this show is and what it, the growth is slow, and you have to humble yourself. You have to get into the mindset that you are helping people, and you know that you are because people tell you so. But it's hard when you have this bigger than life desire to succeed and you're not getting there. And it's not your fault. It's not because of bad attitudes. It's not because of bad content. It's simply because the world is set up a certain way. And that's what I try to challenge, is the way the system is set up. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are just, it's not about arrogance or ego. It's about wanting to feel vindicated, wanting to feel validated. And so that's what this has become, is more of an indie hotspot, that we're just trying to represent all the people who feel like they're not good enough, even though you are good enough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one thing I have to tell you, babe, swinging this back around to you, is that I am so fucking proud of you, though, that you've maintained throughout all this. And now that you're working at the local store here, you don't have to drive how far, 13, 14 miles every day.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, you're right there, which is good. And this store has sunlights in it now, so it doesn't feel like you're in that bright, like, it doesn't feel like an old Kmart from the 80s.
Yeah. That's because they ripped down an old Kmart from the 80s to build this building.
Exactly, right. But it's a little bit more ergonomic. It's a nicer store. I'm just glad it worked out in that regard. But I still feel bad, because I want so badly for you and I to feel like we're growing. that we're making enough money. And we're at an age where we should be making more money. We should not have to be living in a trailer park with our mom and aunt living like this. But at the same time, you got this one life. And if you don't love it or celebrate it or count your little blessings, you're going to spend your whole life feeling like you're not good enough, or you're going to spend your whole life feeling perturbed over the fact that you know life isn't granting you what you deserve. And you can allow that to get you bitter. But I've come to terms with growth is inevitable, but it's also slow going. And so I know, okay, do this. Get your comedy albums going. Get your YouTube channel up. Start building it. I think my untapped audience is in the YouTube arena because that's where everybody likes to go. And so that's what we're doing. But we don't want to be big shit YouTubers. I don't want to compete with those guys with that hey personality. I just want to go and do funny paranormal reviews and funny, silly things so that the people who do love us and care about us can see what we look like and see that, you know, regular folks can make it if you just have heart, if you just be emotionally honest, you know, that's what it's about. But I wanted to ask you because the hardest part of all this for me is not looking for research. It's not finding new topics. It's not the work I put into this. The hardest part for me is, first of all, finding my direction and continuing to feel inspired. Because you know you're not making a lot of money. You know it's not going where you want as fast as you want. But the hardest part, secondarily to that, is you, babe. I know you're getting so burnt out at that job, and I have no good advice, and I wish I could just pull you out of there, and you could be my Robin Quivers to my, you know, like I can be Howard Stern, and you could be Robin Quivers, and we could go work in Manhattan and make a lot of money and just doing what we do, which is helping people, you know?
Yeah, I know.
That's what I want.
I'm going to start crying again.
Oh, well, if you need me to pause, just let me know.
I know.
But the thing is that that's at the end of the day what this show's about. It's about the purity and the pureness of good intentions. You know, I always say that energy is intention. And that just means to me, well, what does it mean to you? And then I'll tell you what it means to me.
Just means that try to put out the kind of energy that you want, and hopefully it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
And if you try not to be bitter and
right
and depressed and
yeah
and ugly. And
right.
Hopefully.
And it's hard because I'm a cranky motherfucker. And I do feel that life handed me a kind of a raw deal. It gave me, you know, here's your Delta hand and you have no kings and you've got a couple of twos. You're like, well, shit. And so you got to bluff your way through life because you weren't born with wealth. You weren't born with the money to go get a Harvard degree. Even if you're smart enough and determined enough, I realize I'm at a point in my life where I am post-college. Like, I'm not going to go back to college. That is not going to be my route to what I want because I'm an achiever. I'm not doing it for arrogance, though. I'm doing it because when you know yourself and what you're capable of, you just want to live at a level that feels right for you. And that's what I want for my audience, is for you to feel good enough about yourself and to process your regular life and your regular job and your regular mental health in a way where you still feel empowered and you still feel good enough. And that's the thing. It's hard because we live in a top-down society. So speak on that a little bit about how, you know, being in a top-down society where there's so much haves and so much have-nots, how do regular folks and how do you deal with that constancy of trying to find meaning and purpose in your life?
Sometimes it's so difficult. It's so easy to look at people that have a lot and have what seems like an easy life and just feel envious of it because we're down here struggling with their stupid jobs and not having, I mean, we have plenty. I mean,
we're
comfortable and we're good, but
we don't have like true poverty. Like there's poverty where you don't have enough to go on good vacations. You're not making enough to get out of your circumstances, but you're putting food on the table.
Yeah.
But so we're not like food poor.
Yeah.
We can buy t-shirts and we can buy subwoofers and we can buy a few things here and there. but we're not poor, poor, but we're certainly not wealthy enough to get out of our circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's never was my desire for this, although I would love to get bigger so that I can grow and get to where I believe we deserve. But that's not a demonstrative of my ego or arrogance. It's demonstrative of just wanting your life to be where you know you're validated and vindicated for your hard work. You know, at the end of the day, we all want that. And there's no ego involved in that. But yeah.
And most days it feels like that's just not happening. Doesn't matter how hard you work, you're just going to be stuck in the same spot. And it gets really
real,
really real and real difficult.
Yes.
And I just try to appreciate what we do have and try to just do things that I love doing. Like, you know, my reading and my cross stitching and my stupid little phone games and the shows we watch and just try to really appreciate, look around this room and how it's amazingly decorated and it's our little sanctuary. And you just have to try to, and it's like the stupidest thing, like appreciate the small things, but it's really true. And
I said yesterday, I said that our house, our trailer is a shithole, but then it's not a shithole in the sense that we've gotten the roof fixed. So at least it's not leaking. It's keeping our head dry. And it's like lipstick on a pig in the sense that we have it decorated so well, but it's all a facade because the walls are made out of crepe paper. You know, but at the end of the day, that's the thing is that, yes, I do believe you have to count your blessings and you do have to appreciate the small things because at the end of the day, what if it's not in the cards for everyone to succeed? It's not because you're not good enough. I know I'm good enough. I know you're good enough. I know our audience is good enough, and that's why I speak for them, because I do believe that regular people are good enough, but some people just get lucky, and some people just have the right personality, and they grow, while I do want to support people putting out good work, it's hard sometimes to not get envious, because you're like, well, that's shit, and that's crap, and that's stupid. You know, it's like Kathy Griffin now is like an Amber Heard spokesman. And you can tell she did not listen to one iota of the evidence.
Yeah.
And while I want, you know, and that's weird. I just want to get this off my chest real quick and we'll get back on topic. But the Johnny Depp trial was not about liberals versus conservatives. And yet right now the conservatives we're agreeing more with the conservative mindset than our own progressives.
That was weird watching that
it's Fox weird.
News clip, because that is the one and only time I will ever agree with anyone on Fox News.
Well, and I think
people are turning it into this, like, if you're not on her side, then you're not a feminist, and you're not this, and you're not that, and you're not.
That's an all or nothing behavior, and that's weird,
so
ignorant
weird
mentality, because evidence isn't, you know, we're not trying to say that every woman who's gone through abuse has to take photos. We're not saying, you know,
they're twisting the words.
They're twisting it around to say that no woman should be believed just because she doesn't have physical evidence. And I'm saying, no, it's just in this particular instance, the evidence was not there.
Yeah,
you can tell she's making shit up because there's too many inconsistencies, very little physical evidence. I mean, if you've been through 5 to 7 years of this quote unquote physical abuse or emotional abuse, then there should be some record of it. Doctor's reports, pictures, your friends would know something, nothing bared out. And so what I find is weird is that, yes, for the first time ever, I'm agreeing with Fox News. And I think they have ulterior motives, because I think what it is that they're trying to be the anti-feminist movement because they think liberals are a bunch of whiny babies. And so they're trying to take this, like, ha ha, laughing at the Me Too movement because it's not succeeding right now, or because it's kind of laughing at the detriment of Amber Heard and all these liberals who just want to blindly believe this stuff. And like, and that's the thing is, yes, I'm a progressive. Yes, I lean left, but I'm also one to where the truth exists. That's where I'm going to lean. And so in this particular instance, I'm not saying that I'm sure the conservatives have a few ulterior motives there, but the analysis, pure and simple, is more correct than these liberals who are just wanting to believe women all the time, regardless of authenticity.
Yeah, it's turned into a really weird thing.
It's weird.
Not surprising, because
not surprising.
It was put on national television, which I think it needed to be.
Yeah.
Because I think the truth, because I've heard people say, like, I don't, not that we're trying to get into the Johnny Depp trial.
No,
but the fact that it was televised because the way mainstream media is treating it as, you know, against the Me Too movement and this and that, everybody would have just believed it because nobody would have seen it. So
yeah.
It was a big benefit that it was televised.
Because it allowed people like ourselves who are critical thinkers, because, yeah, what if it hadn't been televised and MSNBC painted it one way and Fox News painted it another way? We might have just said, yeah, we believe Amber too. Because the evidence, we didn't see we didn't go through it to experience it. And that's the thing that we were talking on that Johnny Depp episode, is that people sometimes nowadays, whether it be political or social, people nowadays are unmoved by new evidence. And it just makes you scream, because I'm not on any side. I'm on the side of the truth. Yeah. You know, I'm not just some Johnny Depp sycophant, and I'm not just going to believe the Me Too movement or women if it has a political bias. Like, do I usually lean left? Yes, but in this particular instance, I do believe that the evidence does not bear out. We should believe women, though. So how do we reconcile with that?
Well, it's not they're making it political when it's not.
Yeah.
It was a thing between two people, and there's evidence, and there's statements, and there's this, that, and the jury came to their conclusion. And that's how it is with everything. You need to look at the evidence and look what people are saying and how things are being said, and make your own conclusions about things.
I think the problem now is that people, instead of doing the work to arrive at their own decision, would rather believe people that they admire.
Yeah.
But what if the people they admire don't have the intellectual honesty as someone else? So, like, you know, Kathy Griffin is coming out trying to say, believe Amber Heard, but I don't think she even listened to the trial.
No, I don't think she did either.
And ever since she was canceled because of that Donald Trump head thing she did, I just don't think she learned her lesson. She's still shitting on conservatives at every, you know, every time she gets an opportunity. She was talking about how, like, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is a thick and sturdy woman, and making fun of Johnny Depp for being fat and bloated and alcohol-fueled bloated and all that. It's like, now, oh my God, like, you were canceled yourself. Yeah. You would think you'd be a little more sensitive to the nuance of cancellation culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You would think, but some people
I know.
Don't learn.
Anyways, let's get off that subject. It's been so in the headlines these days. But at the end of the day, I care about good policy. I care about policy that's going to help women, that's going to help regular folks, poor folks, working folks. But at the end of the day, sometimes liberalism isn't always serving our best interest, because it's making us all culture warists. We're all culture war enthusiasts. We're all becoming radicalized. And when that radicalizes people to stop believing the evidence or just simply start becoming radical to a movement despite where the truth lies, they're just becoming political warriors for a cause without really understanding the evidence and not really understanding where the line should be.
That whole trial was just a good lesson in that. In not just blindly believing things and following people and listening to evidence and drawing your own conclusions. And I think that was that was the biggest lesson out of that, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of people aren't taking that lesson.
Right. Well, you know, yesterday we were watching Popcorn Planet, and that girl, Steph, she's a domestic violence survivor. And she was like, good, I hope the Me Too movement does suffer, because she's like, it was good when it started, and now it's morphing into this thing that it isn't being useful anymore.
Yeah.
And so if we can, so if it does kill the movement, I say, so be it. There'll be another better movement to replace it that's more earnest and honest and truthful.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So anyway, getting back, well, I kind of want to lean things back into the fact that this is our 1 year anniversary. And I want to talk about you, babe, because, you are the heart of this operation. I'm the brains of this operation. And while I have heart too,
I have a little bit of brains too.
Yeah, you do. Yes, indeed. But I do feel like, people have, you know, it's like our good friend Idris, and quite a few people have come out of the woodwork to say, oh, we love Rebecca, you know, And I love that because, you know,
I'm
on the
crying again.
Well, it's true, though. And people just love you because you're pure of heart. You speak the truth and you just don't compromise. You're getting to the point where you're finally becoming your truest self. And I want to talk about where you used to be and where you are now. You were so shy growing up. You were so introverted. You still are introverted, but you've become more of a sassy, you know, kind of stick-to-itiveness. And you've got a oomph in you now, a pep in your step that you didn't used to have. Speak on that a little bit.
I think that was all just getting older and coming into myself.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm still absolute introvert completely. And I never, never would have imagined myself even coming on some type of this that goes out to anywhere.
I know, like, it's craziness, you guys. You guys have, like, no idea.
No, yeah, no. Because the first time you said you wanted me to come on, that was like, no.
No fucking way. Talk.
What? No, I can't do
and
that.
And I'm so glad that you took to it, because I don't know what I would do without you. While I do shows where I monologue for an hour, I'm fine with that sometimes, but I'm so glad because you allow me to, you know, because monologuing, you have to do research and you talk a certain way, but nobody gets to see what you're really like. When you're monologuing, it's almost like doing a speech. And so you're always serious. Now people get to see what we're like and our banter back and forth. And it not only exposes you to be the person you are and to allow you to grow and come out of your shell. And I love that. That's what I was saying about the magic. I want to talk about the magic after this. But it also allows people to see who I am, that I'm not just some earnest monologuer, that I'm also spry and silly.
Yeah, it always helps to see someone with their significant other, and it brings out a whole different side of someone that you wouldn't normally
see. Well, and that's what I want the show to be, and I want people, whether they have a partner in life or not, to just realize to grow comfortable with your weirdness, to grow comfortable with your realness. Yeah. Because lately I've been going through my own spiritual thing. And honestly, if I have to be honest, I am having a very difficult time getting older. It's not just because of it's not vanity. It's not, you know, do I dye my beard now versus I used to not have to? Yes. I don't mind admitting that because
it's fine.
It looks like trash when I don't dye it. That's why I do it.
My hair doesn't grow in purple.
right. <So. laughs> Yeah, you know, so I don't mind getting older in that regard, but I do feel like I'm at a place spiritually where I guess I'm getting more afraid of dying. Mm-hmm. I'm getting more I feel like I'm not as fit and healthy as I used to be. I'm always having to stay in my balance, because if I don't, my fibromyalgia will flare up. And so I guess I'm having a spiritual resistance to getting older. And I don't mind being older. But then when you hear, like, how am I older than David Harbour from Stranger Things? How am I older than that person or this person or that person? It's like getting older. But then you see people like, you know, Johnny Depp or somebody who's, 58?
Yeah.
You know, we're not old yet, but I'm starting to feel it. And I think the reason that is, you know, because we've talked about this before, but people in the old days, you know, we're all pining for the old days and the old ways. But at the same time, I mean, people nowadays are aging better. What do you think that is?
It's a lot of things. Well,
was it just poor diet back in the day or just grueling work?
Probably partially that.
Yeah.
Just people weren't as healthy, but... I'm not that healthy. I mean, I eat like shit 90% of the time. I don't know. I honestly.
Is it an attitude?
It might be an attitude.
But then how does that attitude translate into looking younger? People are looking younger than they used to.
I remember, like, when I was in high school, even the seniors looked so old.
Yeah.
And then when I was a senior, and now we still look younger. I don't know what it is.
It's weird because.
It's very weird.
Well, yeah, we were looking at this Facebook post the other day I found, where it was showing all these actors from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, we're the same age as Archie and Edith Bunker.
Yeah.
And they look hella old. They look like they're in their mid-50s, and they're the same.
Or older.
We're older than the Bunkers.
Yeah. I know. It's weird. I don't know what it is. I honestly don't know what it is. I love it.
We're older than George and Jefferson and his wife. What's her name?
Well, oh, Louise.
Was it Louise?
George and Louise, yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah, the yep. Jeffersons, you know. Yeah. It's just so weird to me that I could be older than people that I've always fancied as old.
I know.
It's like, oh my God, what's happening?
I really appreciate it because it feels like I'm coming into myself finally.
Yeah.
And I still feel and look young enough to enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking like I'm 187 and, right. You know, it's...
Well, and sometimes I feel youthful. And other times, because of my fibromyalgia and my migraines, I get really where I don't feel well. I feel sick. Oh, I feel nauseous. And I feel old. And I feel like I'm going to die. And I worry about that.
Like the way I walk around after I get off work. When I take off my shoes, I'm like hobbling around.
Or like me, where I get off, I can run a 6 or 7 mile run. But then my back, my lower back hurts for 2 days, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm falling apart here.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, getting older is a trip, you guys, and that's the thing is we try very hard not to be ageist. We try very hard not to be any kind of ist, because at the end of the day, everybody, it's easy to generalize about young people. It's easy to generalize about conservatives. It's easy to generalize about religious people. It's easy to generalize about anything. But at the end of the day, we didn't want to become just another mouthpiece for all the isms out there that are just perpetuating the culture wars. No matter what our differences are, I think at the end of the day, do I like everything Republicans do? No. Do I like everything that some content creators do? No. But at the end of the day, I support independent journalism. I support independent thinking, and I support... What I support is people all having an equal say and equal ability under the law to express themselves and to enjoy life. Yeah. And so when I see like corporations oppressing, structuring the world in a way where they want to, they want to steal away our joy, they want to steal away our lust for life, and they want to oppress us and keep us down. I realize, we can capitalize on this on a way by making people more aware in our culture of just being more self-aware. You know, I've talked about intelligence. I said, yes, I have a high IQ, but it's not because I'm some fancy pants scholar. It's as that as an empath, I've grown to the ability to capture my hyper awareness, being more aware of yourself, being more meta. Just being a more critical thinker. And at the end of the day, everybody has the potential to have a higher IQ nowadays because we live in a culture that's so self-actualized. It's hard because we're all struggling to be relevant in a system that we're all smart, we're all aware, we all have social media. There's a lot of unfair advantages out there in the world. And so, but what it's about is getting to that point where you realize that you're smart too. I'm not just some genius because I was born that way. I had to work for it. I had to work. You know, when for me, like high school and grammar school were easy for me. It didn't start getting hard for me until college. But then when it did, I had to start learning how to apply myself. And it took a while because I didn't want to apply myself because I never learned how to. It wasn't until after the military I learned how to apply myself. But now that I have learned how to apply myself, sometimes I feel like I'm at a point now where it's like, what's the fucking point when the system's so rigged? But I don't want to perpetuate that idea because that's why we here at the show are trying to get people to understand that your sense of worth, your sense of self-esteem is important. And when you lose that magic, the inner you, your soul, whether you believe in a soul or not, we have an inner soul. We have an inner energy. We have an inner dignity. And a lust for life and a lust to be bold and magical. And that, if you lose it, you lose your charisma, you lose your sense of balance in life, you lose your sense of awareness and who you are and where you're going. You lose your internal GPS, if you will. And so that's where this show, for me, became kind of a spiritual passion project to get people to do what I'm trying to do, which is just every day say it's okay that you're getting older. It's okay that you're not wealthy. It's okay that your life or your health isn't perfect. That what makes you magical, like Idris, our friend, would say, being a magical bitch is not about being beautiful or perfect or perfectly healthy. It's about capturing that inner juju inside you, that inner magic. What do you think?
Exactly. I'm sitting here thinking that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, is what was one of the main things you wanted people to get out of this? And I think you
yeah.
just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's capturing the inner magic, because we've become a culture that's too big. It's too overwhelming. We are just biological critters. And yet because there's a smallness about us because we're animals, but then there's a bigness of us like we're gods. And that is a very interesting dynamic, because on the one hand, we're just animals that get sick and die off. And we have to stave off death. We have to stave off bad mental health. We have to stave off all these things in our society and culture that are trying to oppress us or trying to hurt us. We're trying to, you know, the sky is falling. We have to watch and duck and cover, you know. We have to navigate this life in such a way where we're looking both ways before we cross the street. And so on the one hand, we're vulnerable like a small cat or rabbit or dog or something. But we're also magical, huge thinkers. We're gods amongst men. We're gods amongst critters. We are. Our thinking has gotten so big and smart and bold. And so it puts us in this weird, tenuous situation as humans to try to figure out how in the fuck to make the most of this. How do you do it? Yeah, I don't know.
Especially when you're stuck in a society where you have to work a stupid job to get by just financially and keep the necessities going, like
yeah.
food and shelter. And
yeah.
And it's hard to
they're taking advantage of, yeah. Of our hierarchy of needs,
yeah.
where, well, we know that you need food and shelter, so we're going to take advantage of that. And as we're trying to ascend to the highest level of our Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is self-actualization and love, we're being exploited. We're being oppressed.
Absolutely.
There's lots of treasonous things out there.
That's the whole point of it for a lot of people, is they don't want people to self-actualize and realize that how much they're worth and how good they are and how big they are, because then it threatens them.
Yeah.
So it's just, they want to keep people.
They want to keep people oppressed and feeling small so
yeah.
that they don't grow out of their, you know, and that's how I felt when I was working at the blood center, is they wanted me to be small and quiet and to know my role. And anytime I spoke up, even though they told me to do so, they felt threatened by it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's what I'm learning as not only an Aries, but as a person who just grew wise to all the agendas out there, that people feel threatened by you, that people want, they don't, not all your friends are your friends. And so at the end of the day, how do you find mentalities that can endure? How can you find and capture something that feels spiritual when, like myself, I'm an agnostic atheist? I don't feel like there's any supernatural fucking favor out there in the universe. I feel like the universe is looking at us indifferently to our pain and suffering. And so how do you not get bitter about it when all these institutions are trying to also do that? It's treacherous,
it's really,
man.
Hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard to take that step and realize that you're more than your job and you're more than
yeah.
this. Then you just have to,
Well, and they're like trying to teach people that you're only as good as your job, or you're only
yeah.
as smart as your background or your degree or your college education. And it's like, fuck all that, man. Now, do I give credit to scholastics? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like this world is getting to that point where they're trying to force us all to color inside the lines, because legitimate newspapers, legitimate college educated scientists and people are like, I mean, am I ever going to be a real scientist? I can't just throw out science words and be a scientist. I can be scientifically literate, but I'm never going to work in those fields. But I do feel, though, that we're at this weird cusp at our society where we're all beginning to understand that the wool that's been pulled over our eyes for so many millennia now, hundreds of years of just being oppressed and taken for granted. And so society's becoming hateful. And as a result, there's all these culture wars and people are having poor mental health because they don't know how to get a handle on all this, because I don't think human beings were meant to be put in all and thrust into all these hard and difficult and hardships and tenuous situations. Do you?
Absolutely not.
We're just, I mean, we would never do that to our dog. We never do that to our cat. And so why do we do it to ourselves, do you think?
Because it's just pressed upon us that that's how things are, and that's how you have to act, and that's how you have to be. And it's hard to break out of those mindsets. And it's just, it takes little steps sometimes just to realize that you are a person and you have rights and you have feelings and you're not alone. And there's people out there going through the same things you are, and just know that there's people out there that are, you can relate to, know that you're your own unique person. And
all the time
build on that.
I always say I stay in my lane, and that means I stay in my Star Trek world. I stay in my audiophile world. I listen to rock and roll and heavy metal because it makes me feel like it gets all that feeling of inadequacy out of my soul so that I feel good enough. And, you know, if I'm in a bad mood, I put on my horror t-shirt. Right now I'm wearing Art the Clown, and he's a psychopathic murderer that eats people. And that sounds disturbing, I know, but I just mean, like, when I'm in a mood where I need to watch people fucking die, it's like, hey, vicariously, you live through that anarchy, you know? But it's all tongue-in-cheek. I mean, that's the thing. But what would your advice... Because everybody's mental health is different. Like, I've said this before, is that the key to your passion, the key to your mental health is going to be different for everybody, because everybody sees the world differently, thinks differently, feels differently. At the end of the day, what works for me might not work for everybody. So what would be your best advice for people who like us, are not jiving with the way things are going these days?
It, just find those little things that make you happy and that make you feel like you're being yourself. Like, if wearing purple nail polish is your thing, you'll have that on. You'll look at it all the time, and it'll remind you that that's you. That's your thing. That's your uniqueness.
What about people like them? What about people like me who I like to let my freak flag fly and wear nail polish and stuff sometimes, but I get self-conscious about it. So what would you say to people who want to let their freak flag fly, so to speak, but just for whatever reason still feel like they have to conform?
Yeah, baby steps.
Yeah,
you might start with painting your toenails where no one can see it.
Well, that's like me. I really only color my nails now in October, because that's Halloween month, and that's what we've become, is sort of spook, spook central for us.
You have to push through the being uncomfortable. Like, the first time I actually wore like blue lipstick, it was so weird, and I felt uncomfortable, and I felt self-conscious. But then I did it, and then I got some compliments, and then realized that that was me. And sometimes you just have to push through the self-consciousness and the uncomfortableness of it and just do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, right now, I'm really struggling to stay healthy, stay fit. I have to watch myself and my balance with drugs, alcohol, with substances. I have a history of it. I don't have an addictive personality, but I'm always searching for that feeling, chasing a feeling. And sometimes that's through fitness, sometimes that's through substances. And while I don't have any addictions per se, I notice that my life goes out of balance anytime I drink too much, or anytime I smoke too much pot, or anytime I try other substances, which I don't anymore. But even if I were to, I want to live a clean and healthy and sober life, but at the same time, I'm still trying to chase a feeling. What would you say for folks that are trying to chase a feeling and can only achieve it with substances or something? How can we feel powerful when we only feel powerful on substances?
Right, I know.
You know? But
it reminds me of that video we watched yesterday, that professor of rock guy talking about Scott Weiland.
Yeah.
And he was saying the only time he felt like he could be himself and was when he was on heroin. And
right.
And that's a hard one, because I've never done that, but things
like
that can make you feel a certain way, and to try to get that feeling with something that's not harmful.
Well, that's what I did, you know, but I still find myself finding hardship in finding that balance, because my running, for the most part, when I quit drinking, when I was 30, I was drinking way too much And I learned that I had to get clean and sober. And I have a lot of friends right now that are going through recovery, and more power to them. But truthfully, I think the reason why I resist that 100% sobriety is because I'm still chasing a feeling. And so I drink a little bit. I smoke a little bit of pot. I'll try this or that when in Rome. If I'm at a party, someone's doing something, I don't do it anymore. It's been a decade. But every once in a while, I'll do what they're doing because I'm chasing a feeling too. A feeling youthful. A feeling powerful. A feeling beautiful within. And when substances can bring you into that feeling, it's easy to lose that balance. Like even me with my caffeine, I love caffeine. It gets me all wound up. I get so happy. And then I drink too much of it. I'm like, oh, fuck. Right, and so I have to always stay in balance. And I think that's what right now is the life lesson I'm going through, is I have to stay in balance because, yeah, I'm chasing a feeling that I don't always get anymore. I think it used to come so easy for me when I was young. And yes, my running does help. It helps me feel healthy, but it also makes certain things in your brain stimulated where you're getting that dopamine and serotonin rush. You're getting that high, if you will. And so, you know, like your ex who died, Jay, you see a lot of similarities with me in that, but not as bad.
Yeah, not to that extreme. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't have medicines and things right now that I take. But I still, even though I don't do it anymore, I still am like looking for the fountain of youth. Mm-hmm. I want to try this. I want to try that. And then I have to get out of the habit of thinking that some substance is going to get me there. I can only get there through my own fitness and health.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just, you just have to keep trying new things, not substances.
Right, right.
Just trying new things, trying new activities, trying new hobbies, new things. And
yeah,
hopefully you'll come across the thing that gives you...
Makes you feel powerful. It makes you feel the way you want to feel. Because, yeah, that's the problem with drugs and alcohol, is that they all artificially make our brains feel things that we want. Like when you drink, it makes you feel less nervous or less anxious. But then you do it all the time, you lose that feeling, and then you require more to get there. And then before you know it, you got yourself deep in a hole, and now you got to dig yourself out of that hole, or it's not doing the thing anymore. So then you might advance to something harder. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, I am grateful that I don't have any bad, debilitating drug habit. But to this day, even though I don't use, I feel like I want to.
Yeah. And your thing that you substitute is buying T-shirts.
Yeah, I know. I've got 150,000 T-shirts now that I'll never wear.
That's the thing that kind of gives you that feeling.
Yeah,
that little bit,
the dopamine rush,
and that's totally it with me and makeup. Like, when I get a new thing of makeup in the mail, it's so exciting, and I love to open it up and look at it, and it gives me, and that's why it's my thing.
Because right,
it gives me that.
Right. Okay, so this is something I found on social media. It came from a YouTube, just a random Instagram page called Jane Lightworker. I want to give credit where credit is due. But it says here, and I agree with some of it, and I don't agree with some of it, but it says 7 things to give up to break the matrix. And I think what she's saying here is I'll read it here. As you break the matrix, you are opening up higher chakras and enter the real world and don't just live in an illusion. My path was gradual, removing these. And as a result, my communication and receiving channel became clear. In fact, I'm not the one making this post. The whole consciousness wants you to hear this. There is no coincidence here reading this. And then it says here, hold on. Okay, so it says 7 things to give up to break the matrix. News, alcohol, attachments, processed food, too much caffeine, drama and gossips, red meat, preferably all meat. Now, I agree with that in spirit. I do. I really, really do. But I know myself, I'm never going to stop watching some news. I'm never going to...
But don't watch too much, which we have found in our own life.
Watching
too much.
Right. And we've just pulled back to the point where it's not... It's not the daily outrage grind anymore.
Yeah. And it feels better.
And we feel better as a result. Absolutely. We're staying in our lane of happiness by focusing our energy on things that we love and mm-hmm. enjoy, which is nerd shit and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then even that sometimes, like the dopamine rush gets bad for me where I'm not feeling it because, like, I know Star Trek's fake. And I know nacelle technology will never fucking happen. And it makes me angry that we can't get there, damn it.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, I still watch the news. And then alcohol. I think I could give up alcohol. Mm-hmm. I don't drink that much anyway. Yeah. I only use alcohol now to calm my nerves when I'm having a panic attack. Like mm-hmm. I feel the anxiety coming. I'll drink a beer. Huh. And I'll drink one beer.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Just sometimes too.
Reminds me of watching that hot. Mm. That show yesterday with where they're eating hot wings and David Harbour tried this one hot sauce.
Yeah.
And I was like, I haven't been drunk in 15 years, but this is giving me that feeling.
right.
Hot sauce.
Yeah. See, I think a lot of people who are famous or working at a high level now used to have a drug or alcohol problem because we're all chasing a feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then here it says attachments. What do you think that means? Unhealthy attachments
to people, to things. So, anything that's causing you stress or that's not making your life better.
But what
person could be a habit? Could be
a habit.
Anything that's
creating bad habits, bad mentalities.
Yeah, anything that's not forwarding.
Like if I were to be attached to the idea that no, I can drink forever, I can use drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's kind of like my uncle never admitted that the drugs in his life were causing problems. And so he never went into rehab. He never got sober. And now he's sitting in a jail cell because of his bad decision-making because he never got sober. He never got and ascended to the highest level. Yeah. Now mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm doing that because I don't use drugs. I smoke a little bit of pot and I drink occasionally, but I still feel like I'm chasing an attachment or telling myself that it's okay because you have it under control. Do you feel like my attachments need to be changed?
Maybe a little bit sometimes, because there's certain times in everyone's life where you use things as a crutch.
Too much caffeine.
Yeah.
Too much this, too much that. You rely on things as a crutch.
To help get through certain situations and certain times and
right.
feelings. And
yeah.
And sometimes that does need to be changed for everybody.
I agree.
Yeah.
So attachments, you guys, if you have kind of like you're in denial mode about something that you know you have to get over in order to better your life or better your health, do it. Quit making excuses. But sometimes it takes kind of like hitting rock bottom for a lot of people. And that's why I don't want people to have to hit rock bottom. I want them to learn vicariously through those who've gone through it, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I hit rock bottom as a drinker, I was like, fuck this, man. I thought I could trick myself into, no, I'll just drink beer now. I won't do the hard stuff. But then only that lasted so long, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're always making up excuses instead of making up the time and the effort to change. Processed food. I only eat processed food because I don't get to the store enough. If there was natural, healthy foods in the house all the time, I don't think I would eat processed foods. But when you're lazy and tired and your life's a wreck and you're mm-hmm. kind of depressed, you'll grab for a can of raviolis or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Instead of something good for you.
And I've had friends that have stopped eating processed foods and sugars and things, and they feel great.
Yeah,
and
I want to do that.
I do want to do that, but I love me some stuff.
So. Well, I think occasionally within reason, you know, but that like just we've recently changed from ice cream to Greek yogurt
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of granola, a little bit of honey, a little bit of cinnamon. Mm-hmm. It's working for me.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
know, so just that works. Processed food. Yeah, I like some processed foods, mac and cheese, things like that. I would like to get out of the habit of that. We're going to the grocery store tomorrow. The thing is don't fool yourself. Don't think that you can go full vegan like that,
yeah. mm-hmm.
or don't think you're going to go full natural foods like that. I think we do that. We eat a big meal and then we go to the store thinking we're going to do all these great things. And then we sit there and we hunger for shitty foods.
Yeah.
So right. I think there's a balance there. Mm-hmm. Don't trick yourself into thinking you have to go all in or all or nothing.
Yeah. Cause anything's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when your body gets used to the natural with less sugar, gets used to less processed foods, then you can make the change then
mm-hmm.
just like any substance.
Yeah.
Too much caffeine. Yeah, I drink too much caffeine. I know it. There's been a few episodes where I was zinging out of my fucking head. It was a good show, and I'm still thoughtful because I don't lose my ability to think or control myself. But I do believe that too much caffeine can be a bad thing. Too much sugar also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's easy for me because I just, you know, like, oh, it's getting to be 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I should probably stop drinking it right now. For us, we're night owls, so for me, that time is about 8 p.m., but after that, I just don't drink caffeine, and I drink a lot of water, and I go for a run, but yeah, I find myself leaning a little too heavily when I'm not sleeping right, mm-hmm. when I'm having insomnia, definitely. I'm like, I'm zinging up on our energy drinks, and that's the thing, you guys, we drink them occasionally just to kind of give ourselves a boost, but then we'll get into the habit of doing it for a couple of weeks, and we're like, nope, we got to stop now. We do.
Exactly, yeah.
Drama and gossip. We aren't drama and gossip fans. I think the Johnny Depp trial was that for us. That's that, like, mm-hmm. Jim Gaffigan says, everybody has their McDonald's.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean literally McDonald's, but it's that junk food. We all have that something in our life that we love and yearn for, even though it's not good for us. For some people, it's celebrity news. So for some people, it's an obsession with a celebrity. For some people, it might be drama and gossip and TMZ and the paparazzi shit. Mm-hmm. We don't get into that, so I don't really think that matters to us as much. But what do you think on that?
I think it's definitely true, because it's just...
I don't
people when you get obsessed with it, like it's an obsession with people you will never meet, you'll never see, has nothing to do with your life, and you can
get it's to not even reality. For all we know, these people might not even exist. It's kind of like the flat earthers that believe that Earth is flat. They're not convinced of the evidence, even though there's loads of evidence. Now we have all kinds of evidence to suggest that Hollywood is real, actors are real, wealth is real. We know it's real. But yeah, but at the end of the day, it's not real in the sense that these fucking people aren't going to ever let us into their lives.
And the lives that they portray aren't real. Like, I've never watched an episode of the Kardashians, but it's reality TV.
It's not surreal. Real.
It's absolutely. So even the things that are presented as reality
aren't reality. It's surreality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like watching Cake Boss. That motherfucker don't do that. Like that every time.
Exactly.
It's scripted that way.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the Kate Boss, but no. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's easy in a social media heavy society to get addicted to the dopamine rush of likes and stuff. But then at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, like you have found a lot of friends that are in your corner because of it. But then some of those people have now turned on me because I became their friends, and they don't like my attitudes because they're a bunch of crazies. No offense, but they're extremists. They've been taken over by the outrage machine. And then when you try to interject a little bit of common sense reality to them, they're like, oh, I'm offended. You're like, well, have fun over there being offended, because fuck you. I don't want you in my life ruining my shit.
Yeah, exactly. And the drama and the gossip within your own life and at work or between friends or...
Well, because I care about friends. I care about friendship and I'm not above a few salacious things in society. I can weigh in on some of these topics, but like when we were getting into Popcorn Planet and they pivoted from Johnny Depp to that murder trial deal, or no, it was a royal wedding.
The royals. Thing.
I just don't give a shit about the royals. I don't. I think it's weird. I think there's that... You're born into wealth. You're born into perfection. You're born into owning and ruling us. And how did you earn that shit? No, fuck you. Yeah. At least people like celebrities, they kind of earned it. But they
got
some of them. Drama and gossip. I never quite got the fascination. But I think social media, we're living in such a social media heavy society where it's easy to let that take over. What would be your advice for folks that are just letting that dopamine rush rule their lives?
Just baby steps. Just step back a little bit. Just
don't click
on that one thing, or don't turn on that one show that one time.
Or maybe perhaps like find healthier versions of it. I think social media within reason is okay. Like I barely Facebook. I Instagram a lot because of the podcast here and the Chef Bri comedy brand. But I just kind of post cat memes. I post a lot of things that are simple and enjoyable. I try to get people to relax and not think about all the hateful shit in the world. Mm-hmm. And because that creates a mentality of them versus us. And I just, no thanks.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, last one. Red meat, preferably all meat. I've told you guys, yes, I'm a meat eater. I have lowered my carbon footprint, but I grew up in a hunting family. My grandfather is a World War II veteran hunter. He, you know, he had a heart attack at 50 deer hunting. And while he did live, and he went on to live up until he was 80 years old, I miss him, but he represented all that we shouldn't probably be doing, like smoking cigarettes, eating lots of red meat. I love him dearly, but I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I am trying to lower my carbon footprint when it comes to eating meat. I try to eat less of it. I try to make better vegan choices. But at the end of the day, I agree with this. I think there's a lot of comforts in our world we grow accustomed to. And as our life spirals out of control, we tend to take it out on, we think we can eliminate this, this, and this, when really we need to eliminate this, this, and this. What do you think on that? The balance.
That is it. Balance. You just have to try to take little steps towards balance, whatever that is. Cut back on things that you need to, add in things that you need to, but like you said, not all at once.
Yeah, not just at once. Take a step baby back steps.
And look at things and mm-hmm. figure out things that you want to change and take little steps to do it. And
yeah.
Not everything at once.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's just, yeah.
Well, and I thought about this article because I sent it to you because on the one hand, I agreed. On the other hand, I was like, oh, fuck that. I'm not giving up all that shit. Right, yeah. But I think she does have the right, she has the right mentality about it. I don't necessarily believe in chakras. I tried to. I was an energy healer for a long time. I do believe our mind, body, soul gets out of balance when we put the wrong things in our body, mm-hmm. Especially if it's too much of something, especially sugar, especially too much red meat, especially too many stimulants, things like that. We all have to keep under control. But I don't think I could ever live without coffee. And the truth is, and I think that's my happy medium, but I'm trying to get out of the habit of putting a creamer in my coffee, even though I can't not. I can't drink black coffee. I can't do it. I try.
No.
It tastes like shit.
Yeah.
I do like the taste of coffee, but not by itself. Mm-hmm. It's got to be accentuated with something. But I got into that Laird's creamer, which is Laird's. He's a surfer dude who started a company here in Oregon. But it's so expensive. It was made of all these great things like MCT oil and all this. No sugars. And it was like a natural stevia and things. It was great. And it tasted all right. It didn't mix very well, but it got too expensive, and so we just got back into the habit of using regular creamer again. So I guess what I would say is I need to find a better creamer substitute because I drink so much coffee, and I love the fact that good news for you coffee drinkers is that coffee is actually good for you, you guys, just not when you drink too much of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And not when you get too much sugar from it. All these sweetened frappuccinos from Starbucks, yeah, that's the problem. It's not the coffee. It's the whipped cream and the caramel and all the other shit in it, you know.
That's why I don't do it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that it costs $5.50 for what I do drink when I go to those places.
So. Well, that high cost, it kind of tempers your wanting to do it every day, you know.
It definitely does.
Yeah, you know, you guys, we're at the hour 30 mark. That's where we're trying to keep the show within a reasonable amount of time. So I want to wrap things up now. But, you know, that's the thing, you guys, is that at the end of the day, Rebecca and I don't have perfect mental health. We don't have perfect health. What we have is a desire to feel relevant, a desire to have a fun life, a desire to feel cheeky and silly and fun loving, and to reach out and find our cheeky, silly, fun loving people, our spooky enthusiasts, our nerd enthusiasts. We're trying to build a tribe, an empath tribe, if you will. Yes, we are empaths. You don't have to be an empath, but if you consider yourself intuitive or an empath, great, more power to you. But it's not about being better than anyone. We're not trying to be public figures to be superior to anyone. We're just trying to reach out in a time in our life where we're starting to die a little bit on the inside because our institutions are not. and I repeat, are not taking care of us. So what can we do about that, hon?
Just do little things to help yourself and make your own life easier and more fun.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to not concentrate on the whole bigger picture all the time.
Well, I've grown so cynical. I've grown so jaded. And I'm always fighting off that sense of not hate, because I'm not a hateful person, but I'm a frustrated, angry person. I get frustrated. I'm an Aries. I'm fire. I'm the fire sign, you know? And my last name is Russell, which means fire, y'all. So, I'm a fiery motherfucker, you know? Like our friend Idris, she says she's a magical bitch, you know? She's now a skinny magical bitch because she's losing weight. But I'm a fiery, passionate person, and I find it hard to burst out of my shell in a society that's always trying to tell me to color inside the lines, that I'm not allowed to be this way. I have to have a job that's so cut and dry, so unimaginative, so transactional, so lacking in love and compassion. What's the magic trick, hon?
Trying to find your thing and doing it as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a little thing, like I said, like painting your nails or wearing a certain lipstick or dyeing your hair or just the little things that,
yeah,
that make you you and make you happy and make you feel good.
Yeah, and I think my advice would be is for anybody who's drinking too much or using too much of something, get your bad habits under control right away. That doesn't mean stop cold turkey. But if you know that too much caffeine, you know too much processed foods, you know too much red meat, too much sugar, too much fat in your diet is ruining you, start addressing it now. But then once you have a baseline of comfort and happiness and balance, then you can start working on other things. Because I think a lot of people, they want to solve all their problems all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that.
No, you can't.
Work on what's most dangerous to you now. Then start working on the littler things that are bothering you. And then and that's just it. Life is a slow progression of progress. We're never going to be perfectly healthy. We're never going to be perfect. So what would you say to people that just, it's that all or nothing, perfection or nothing mentality? How do we get folks to be okay? Because I think that's really what my thing is with my fitness and with my health, is that when I don't run enough, when I don't exercise enough, when I don't eat quite right, or when I gain 10 pounds in 2 weeks because I stopped running and I started eating ice cream too much. I just fell out of it for a while. And I think my soul needed something else. I was getting burnt out. And so how do we maintain balance? When we're always pressuring ourselves to always be so perfect, you know, for me, it's just a matter of, you know, like, allow yourself to be imperfect. Embrace it.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Just give yourself a break.
Yeah.
And don't strive for perfection and realize you're human and you're going to have flaws. And
be dorky, okay. Be goofy, yeah, be silly, exactly. Be a silly heart, have fun. Mm-hmm. Don't worry if you have imperfect looks, use it to your advantage. That's what David Harbour said on that Hot Wings thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is he's like, I'm a goofy, weird looking guy. I've always been a little bit overweight and I just worked with it. I use what I have. And mm-hmm. I think some people are dying so much to be like somebody else, that they don't give themselves credit for their own beauty or their own worth. Like, if you're the kind of person that just absolutely has to look like Millie Bobby Brown and you just don't, well, sorry, you're going to have to temper your expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do people do that when, you know, they've fashioned their whole life and mentality out of trying to be like somebody that they love? Like me, I'm a Chris Cornell fan. I'm never going to be as good looking as Chris fucking Cornell. I mean, he's dead now, but, you know, guess I'm doing better than that, but he's
hard to get
always been
mindsets.
More talented than me. He's always been more attractive than me. He's always been skinnier than me. And yet he's my idol. I just had to teach myself, you don't have to be Chris Cornell to appreciate Chris Cornell. You don't have to be like your idols. Just simply be the best you that you can be and be okay with that. But it takes age. It takes wisdom. It takes good, self-control and good self-esteem, which takes a certain amount of just acceptance, I think. You know, just an acceptance that you're not going to be perfect and you never will be, and just start embracing your goofiness. You know, like on Stranger Things, I noticed that Maya Hawke, the first season, she had to wear that Scoops Ahoy outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And now in season four, she's growing as a character. And I did not know, because I think of Ethan Hawke as a very handsome guy. And I think of her as a very beautiful woman. But I did not realize what a goofy fucking chick she is.
Mm-hmm.
But she uses it to her advantage. It's very attractive to me because she's such a goofball and I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought she was the quintessential beauty. No, she's not. She's kind of an odd duck. Mm-hmm. But she's using it to her advantage, and I find that beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And that's what you have to do, is just be yourself and
yeah,
and run with it.
Exactly. And we're not going to always have perfect looks. We're not going to always have perfect hair. We're not going to always have perfect clothes. And yeah, somehow we have to become okay with being the character actor versus the leading man or woman, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Character.
Yep.
Hardship builds character, and I'm steeped with the shit, and to the point where it fucks up my mental health. But, and then sometimes I get better, and sometimes I get angry and sour, but then I find balance, and yeah, and that's what this life is. It's just a constant struggle to maintain. Okay, I have to be okay with all these realities. I'm getting older. I'm not getting richer. I'm not getting skinnier. I'm not getting buffer. I can only control that which I can control. And I guess I just have to be okay with, incremental progress.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. And that's what I think this whole thing is about. And it's what I want it to be about, is as I've gotten older, you come to realize that maybe things aren't going to be perfect, but you work with what you've got and realize that there are people out there that are going through the same things you are, and it's okay to talk about
them. You find each other.
And yeah.
And you bring them in and you accept them for their differences. You know, that's the thing, is we have to get out of the habit, you guys, of not accepting each other for our differences. I have friends that are Trump supporters. I hate Trump, but I'm never going to hate my Trump supporting friends. Do I talk politics with them? Hells to the nah, but I'm never going to stop loving them, because maybe they're a little misguided. Maybe they're a little ignorant on what I know about politics, but I'm never going to full on hate them because of our differences. And we have to get out of the habit of having different opinions about shit. It was like Popcorn Planet. They're all in agreement about Johnny Depp. And then as soon as they started branching off into other topics, they're like, holy shit, we have differences in opinions and we're going to have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's what life is.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you guys, you know, I just want to tell you from the heart that we genuinely love you guys. We love your normalness, your awkwardness, your regularness. We're trying to give you guys a break. We're trying to make everyone realize that we're all a little too hard on each other. We're all a little too judgmental. And we are all just getting too entrenched in our political and socioeconomic points of view. We have to start giving each other a break, you guys. And at the end of the day, the way you do that is be a little less hard on yourself, and then maybe you'll learn to be a little less hard on each other. Yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
What do you want, hun, for the next years to come with the podcast? And be honest. If it's financial, say it. If it's, you know, if you want to get rich and famous, say it. But honestly, what do you want for the years to come? Because the first year, I admit, the growth has been good, better than my expectations, but not quite up to where I want it to be yet. But I'll end on where I want it to be. But I wanted to give you a chance to your final chance on this episode. Where do you want this movement to go?
I just want to reach more people. I want to have more interaction with people.
Yeah.
Because of this, more dialogue and more talking and
yeah.
And yeah, financial benefits would be good.
I just want to I just want to make a little bit more, you know. It's not mm-hmm. about wealth, not mm-hmm. even close.
No, not at all. No.
I just want people to pitch in. Like, I get so jealous of Popcorn Planet when they get all these like super chat contributions of hundreds of dollars, and I'm making $10.71 per month. Yeah. And I'm like, and I like him and I think he's doing good work, but I think our work is a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more cerebral.
It's different.
Yeah.
And I want you to be able to see some financial benefits of all the hard work that you're doing with this.
Yeah.
And
thanks.
Well,
I, you know, and that's the thing, is I'm trying not to get bitter when the growth isn't big enough. And I try not to take it out on my fans, because they're going through stuff. We're all going through stuff. And yeah, for the future, I want that too. I want to make more meaningful connections like we did with Idris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to make a little more money, and I want to find our tribe. I want to just keep collecting more people into our tribe, and maybe we can do that on the YouTube sphere, you know?
Yeah.
Because I just want to keep doing what we're doing and allow it to grow naturally. And that's the thing, you guys, is I'm not an expert at all this. I'm not an expert at editing. I'm not an expert at growth in social media. I frankly hate most of this shit, but I do it because I love when you find good people in the world and you can connect with each other and you can help each other out. We need to find that Amish, you help me and I'll help you, you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back, a point of view. We're allowing our capitalism to become cruel. And I just want people, you know, I'm not a socialist, but I am a socialist, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I know this is the system we have. I think the two-party system is wrecked. I think our justice system is wrecked. I think capitalism is wrecked. It doesn't mean that I don't believe in our institutions, just that we need to start inserting some sanity and compassion in it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, thank you, babe.
Sure.
I really am so grateful for all of our fans. I'm grateful for just being able to have the health and the presence of mind to be able to think at all, frankly. Yeah. I've got a couple marbles rolling around in this old noggin of mine. But yeah, I love you. I love what we're doing here. It means everything to me. And yeah, I guess I just want more of the same, but just a little more growth, a little more connection, a little more. I want it to feel real. It doesn't feel quite real to me yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough people are reaching out to me yet.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, we get some, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to grow. And I really do think in this year to come, it's all about growing on YouTube. I don't want to become a YouTuber. I want it to be supplementary, but I just want to grow big enough to where we find our tribe. We find our people, all the people, the land of misfit toys, all living together in weird, awkward, you know, peace and harmony.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much, babe. And thank you for this year. I know that you have a hard time with your job, and I can't make any promises, but I do assure you that I'm willing to go to the next level financially. I'm willing to go to the next level, and everything I do and grow here, we will get there. We will get there. You just got to hang on, honey.
I'm trying.
Yeah. I love you.
I love you too, baby.
Thank you.
Anyways. Now we're crying.
Thank you guys so very much for being a friend and being a part of our tribe. Thank you guys so much for your patronage. You can contribute if you want to the cause. We're not trying to force your hand. If you think we're doing good humanitarian work, great. Hey, come on over. Give us a few bucks here and there. We're on Patreon. We're on PayPal at Chef Bri Comedy. We're not trying to be egoists. We're not trying to be famous. We're not trying to get rich. We're just trying to continue this mission that's coming from a place that's so pure and so good and so kind and so, you know, the word last week was disingenuous. This word is genuous. We're just trying to be genuine.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, mm-hmm. And I hope it just gets better from here. So
yeah.
Thank you guys so very much. We're going to do another episode for you guys this week, all about the congressional UAP. What's it called? The UAP congressional hearing?
Something like that.
It was all the big wigs in Washington got together, including Chuck Schumer. Was there a bunch of big wigs are doing they're admitting that UFOs exist, you guys. And they not only are admitting it as a government agency, but they actually want people to feel free enough without stigma to report it so we can learn what's going on. In other words, they're no longer hiding the fact that UFOs exist. They're actually embracing it. And that is a major change in the way our society functions. The government was always trying to hide and obfuscate things. And now they're at a point where like, hey guys, you know, this shit's for real and we got to figure out what it is and whether or not it's a fucking threat. And I love that because we're getting to the next level of transparency with our government. I don't think they'll ever fully be honest with us, but at least we're getting to that point where they want to remove the stigma of UFO and UAP phenomenon. And that's great. And so we're going to get into the weeds on that on the next episode. But thank you guys so very much. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Bye.
1 year.
I know. It's crazy.
One year. How did that happen? Thanks, guys. We love you. Bye-bye.